Extra Life was born, it just occurred to me that gamers should be able to do the things they love to help sick and injured kids as well. And so the funds that Extra Lifers raise can go to a variety of purposes in the local area at the local hospital.
So maybe your extra $20 or your extra $50 goes to curing 87% of children with leukemia.
62 kids like me enter a children's hospital every minute.
And I was one of those kids. You could save their life too.
Play games, heal kids.
Hey, nerds. We understand you. Drop those controllers. Lose the wizard hat. And ready your Cheetos. It's time for some hard-hitting talk about the movies, books, and games you love. So get ready, oh searcher of useless knowledge. It's time to step into the Geek Cave. Now, broadcasting from a top-secret and totally awesome hidden base, I'm Ken Harris, and here's Darren Wright, Justin White, and Chad Savage.
And welcome to the podcast that all the other podcasts listen to. They just don't tell you. It's a Geek Cave podcast. I'm Darren.
I'm Justin.
And I'm Chad.
Comics!
Summer be gone. Fall is here, with its crisper weather and autumnal cheer. The leaves will soon change, then time to rake. Course, the next day my back will ache. Soon Halloween with jack-o'-lanterns aglow, while white people everywhere scream, "The pumpkin spice must flow!" Welcome to comics.
That was intense. I liked it, though.
I've got no words.
Yeah. I'm here for it.
See, it's a Dune reference, and this is the comics and or book section, so I tied it in.
That's, it's
very good.
You see what I did there?
Yeah, I saw that, yeah.
Welcome to comics, and I want to thank our sponsor, Shirtosaurus, digging up clothing from your past so you can look rad today with great t-shirt, sweater, and hoodie designs on everything geek chic. Whether you're a fan of old school gaming, anime, 80s cartoons, or you're just weird like us, find something for you at Shirtosaurus.com. And Gamefly, with membership options for every budget, plus gifts for gamers of all ages, Gamefly has thousands of titles that you can keep as long as you want, and when you're done, just send it back in the postage paid envelope for a new one. Or keep it forever and pay a lot less than those in-store prices. Sign up for your free 30-day trial right now using the link at geekcavepodcast.com. Boys, how we doing?
All right.
I'm good.
Yeah.
Cool. Has anybody read anything?
Well, Jin and Jin over here.
Be gentle. It's Darren's first time.
Motherfucker, I told you be gentle.
All right, gentlemen, welcome to Darren's first time, where I pick up a book that I've never read, whether it's a series or just a character, and I ask myself, what if good? So, I'll start my review off with a question.
We're listening.
With the question. What do you do if you're rich, or at the very least important, and someone wants you dead?
Well, I mean, the charitable thing would just be just go ahead and die.
Okay.
I mean, or, you know, you could always hire somebody to kill said person that wants you dead, or,
What if you'd get them to kill someone else instead?
Huh.
That's kind of what I said, but okay, yeah.
I mean, ethically, it's terrible.
But if you're rich, who cares about ethics?
Well, that has been demonstrated all over the place, isn't it?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, get someone to die for you. Let me introduce you to the human target. Specifically, the Christopher Chance version, because there have been two in DC's echelon.
Is this one of those that's a really short comic series because it only lasts one episode?
No. No.
Just one issue is all you get. It's the human target. Oh.
No, this guy actually had like a two-season run on Fox. They had a TV series. More on that in a second. But
We're going to have to find a new target.
Christopher Chance. This is actually the Black Label miniseries that released last year is what I picked up.
Aha.
Called Human Target. Now, I was vaguely aware of the character. I didn't know much about him other than that he did have a pair of short-lived TV series. He also showed up in the Arrowverse. And it's basically exactly what you expect. This guy's gimmick is impersonating high-profile targets. He gets bumped off instead of the target does. Fake out, he's not actually dead, and then he solves the crime.
Highlander rules?
No, more like really good body armor rules. He's still a human.
Batman rules.
It's Batman rules.
Plot armor,
yeah. Because nobody goes for a headshot in these books, apparently.
Never, ever.
And I admit, part of the reason I chose this is I'm a little tired of scouring my sources for indie comics to try out, so going back to DC was a bit nice, because I knew at the end I was going to be disappointed anyway.
Is that what the D in DC stands for? Yeah.
So the main character dies 2 pages into this miniseries.
Of course.
So that's...
Well, that's why there's got to be a second one.
So the whole story is told in flashback, essentially. Death is nothing new for Christopher Chance. The book starts with him writing a love note to someone, lying on his motel bed, and passing away peacefully. Then we jump 12 days into the past to see that Chance took a job impersonating Lex Luthor. What was the dead giveaway? He said thank you to an employee. That's not Lex. But apparently there was a hit put out. And before the press conference that he was set to appear at, apparently someone poisoned Chance's drink. But the actual assassination attempt comes during the press conference when Lex is shot by a random guy who rushes the stage and then proceeds to berate the media while he's up there, because I guess captive audience,
yeah.
Right? You know. Now, luckily, Chance was wearing a bulletproof vest, and like I said, nobody goes for headshots in these books. And he gets up and calmly takes out the attacker. And when he's debriefing with Luthor afterwards, Chance passes out. And the poisoning is revealed. Lex is like, I didn't do it. Because obviously they were trying to poison Lex. The guy, he's really good at makeup and stuff, so he looked just like Lex Luthor. Now, Chance didn't get enough of the poison into his system for it to kill him outright, because whenever he got shot, he vomited. And that helped him absorb it. But he did get enough for it to get into his system. Dr. Midnight says, you've got about 12 days. And do you want me to call Batman? No, I want to solve my own murder myself. It'll be one thing that Batman can never one-up me on. So he finally settles on a lead that has him looking at the roster of, get this, the Justice League International.
Of course.
Guy Gardner.
Yeah.
Martian Manhunter. Uh-huh. Blue and Gold, Fire and Ice. And Batman.
Yep.
See, because it turns out they're the only ones who had recently come into contact with the materials used to make the poison, and at least one of them, the Brazilian superheroine known as Fire, has a motive. But as Chance gets closer to Fire's friend Ice, is he falling in love or falling into a trap? Maybe. And that's where the first issue ends right there.
Oh, nice.
You know how this is going to end, don't you?
Mm.
The Batman's going to bring him back to life.
Yeah.
Not on my watch. Nobody solves your murder but me. But anyway, this has all of the earmarks of a good mystery, honestly. And since it's in the Black Label brand, that means the writer, Tom King, who had a run on Batman, he did Batman Catwoman as well, and he can play a little bit fast and loose with canon, which if you finish the series, you'll know he does just that. But that would be spoiling, and I'm only here to tell you about issue number one. It reads like a great James Bond type of story, and I did stick it out to the end. I devoured the rest of the series because it's on Hoopla.
Ah.
So the art is great. It evokes a timeless quality in and of itself. Think modern backdrops, but still having like a 50s or 60s vibe, you know, with the coloring and the pencils. It kind of gives that old yet current feel, if that makes sense.
Kind of a noir style.
A noir style, yes. Thank you. And our hero oozes charisma. So does Ice, who I've always had a soft spot for all the way back to the JLI days. So I would say this is definitely worth checking out. I was intrigued. I was captivated. I can see why TV studios have been trying to make this character bigger than he has been for a couple decades now. So yeah, no hard feelings with this one. Be like me.
Cool. Chad, have you read anything, done anything? What's new with you, my friend?
Well, I've been keeping up with my year of Batman.
Mm-hmm.
And the Ra's al Ghul story came up. And so I guess I got a stupid question.
Chad, You know what? I'm tired of saying it. What's your stupid question?
And now it's time for Chad Savage's stupid question.
Would throwing cremains in a Lazarus pit resurrect a person?
We did have that discussion about how much is needed, right?
Yeah.
So,
you know, how much of a body is needed? Well, this would be all of the bones. They're just not assembled.
Right. I mean, with the ashes, you've got the skin there, too, technically. Mostly of it. I mean, you've got what you need.
You got DNA, maybe.
Yeah.
It's not destroyed in fire, but... But, so, I mean, it's magic, so...
So, how much human dust, basically, is the question, I guess.
So, if you look at it in terms of pottery...
Okay, all right.
I'm listening.
And you clay and forming and molds, definitely.
And all you need then is the holy ruach.
moisture clearly dehydrated, you know.
Yeah.
And that's where the pit comes in.
That's where the pit comes in, yeah.
I mean, ratios. I'll get back to you.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm enjoying this series.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That makes one of us.
All right.
Okay. I'm centered again.
Okay.
Well, I guess from one question to another, has the Discord asked anything lately?
Yeah. Be sure to join our Discord. You can find the link at geektapepodcast.com. You get to ask questions of us that we will answer during a taping, such as, what's everyone's favorite piece of geek merchandise they own? I would say I have a one-to-one replica of Commander Shepard's helmet from Mass Effect. And it's even got a little switch in there that, like, the visor lights up. You can change it blue to red depending on, like, if you're feeling like a good guy or an angry guy. It's wearable. I love it.
Since when did angry... When was angry the opposite of good?
Well, it's because, like, Shepard's still a hero, but you get the choice of Paragon or Renegade.
Okay.
For your gameplay. So, basically, you get to be, like, super nice or good guy but asshole.
Okay.
I like the Renegade version too. Fem Shep is great. So, but nice. Yeah, that's mine. The Commander Shepard helmet. Lori can attest. I'll just walk around with it on sometimes.
Well, this is my favorite. Important.
Yes. This is my favorite place in the Citadel. That kind of thing.
So many jokes. So many jokes, Chad.
Well, if we just call it the household,
yeah.
You know, favorite piece of geek merch in the household would be our replica William Shakespeare head from the 60s Batman series.
I love that.
Yes.
That sits on top of one of the bookshelves. It would sit on like a mass, you know, a captain's desk, but we don't have one of those. But its head falls back.
Nice.
You know, and it's got buttons.
Nice.
Have you tried any of the buttons?
The buttons are just for show.
Damn it.
Kind of like the coin slots in your... X-Men.
On my arcade cabinets, yeah.
Arcade cabinet, but it's a piggy bank, but it's licensed for the 60s Batman show.
I dig it.
Nice. Mine is probably my Lego Voltron, because I love me some Voltron, and I love me some Legos, and the fact that you build all five lions separately, and then you form Voltron out of them.
It is pretty sweet.
It is pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
So, all right.
In terms of geek merchandise, it's probably my favorite.
All right. Well, thanks for asking the question, Gungraves. And, hey, you know, if you want to ask a question, just join our Discord. Link is at geektapepodcast.com.
Yep. Any other reviews or random thoughts or tirades we want to go into?
I wish.
But... I could talk so much about Spider-Man, but I'm done. And Fall of X, I'm probably the only person on Earth that's happy Fall of X is happening because, like, I never got into the Krakoa era. I'm sorry, Marvel fans. I just didn't, so... Oh no, another mutant genocide. You know what though? I mean, let's hear him out on that. Because that means we're resetting back to status quo.
They're going to turn them all into inhumans.
Well, we are getting Nightcrawler as Spider-Man for a miniseries. The Uncanny Spider-Man, and that looks pretty good, so I might pick that
up. Okay.
And Kitty Pryde goes on a murderous rampage because she remembered she was trained by Wolverine and, you know, a ninja master.
I did see that one, yeah.
She picks up one of those dudes and phases him and then throws him so his body goes into another dude. And then he gets stuck that way. It is hilariously brutal. And just a reminder that Kitty Pryde is not one to be messed with.
No.
Well, didn't she once, like, phase a giant bullet through the earth?
Giant freaking bullet right mm-hmm. through the earth, yeah. So it's just a nice bringing Kitty back to be... I mean, she was already kind of a badass, but it's just kind of a step up for her character. And, yeah, Professor Xavier gets a little bit of comeuppance and humble pie, so that's all good. So, yeah, I mean, I think Fall of X... I will say we've shared some of the details on the Discord, and such a brutal way for them to start, whereas they're announcing the new team of X-Men mm-hmm. during the Hellfire Gala, mm-hmm. right? It's this big freaking thing, like the Emmys or the red carpet stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And Jubilee is on the team, right? And she looks up, and she's like, hey, guys, a falling star. It's a Sentinel that has fallen out of orbit, lands on top of them, just killing most of the mutants instantly and just goes Hulkamania on the island. It is ridiculously over the top brutal. All I can think of is Invincible.
Yeah.
And I loved it, especially because, you know, most of these characters are coming back anyway.
Yeah, as you do.
Yeah, Fried and Juggernaut got just bitch slapped by a Sentinel named Nimrod. It was great. Mm.
Cool. A great hunter.
Yeah.
Yep.
Before Bugs Bunny ruined it for everyone.
This is true.
Well, really just ruined it for Nimrod.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But other than that, all I've got is, you know, promoting our big thing coming up.
Okay. Well, let's go ahead and do that then.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, Extra Life is right around the corner, guys.
Woo!
I've got a couple more prizes to announce.
Ooh, please do.
Yeah. So for those of you unaware, it's a program of Children's Miracle Network Hospitals, unites gamers from across the globe. We're going to be playing 24 hours the last Friday and Saturday of October, and we will live stream Geek Cave Live that Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll be listing the schedule very, very soon, but you can go ahead and just plan on that. This is a charity that's been around since 2008, $87 million so far raised for CMN hospitals through Extra Life since 2008. And so if you donate any amount, you can win a number of prizes, including Moonlighter for PC. Remember, this was the game where you...
Where you're the shopkeep that
you're
goes...
You're the shopkeep during the yes. day, and then you go raid dungeons at night, so then you can restock your shop.
Nice.
That is available for PC. Someone who donates any amount can win that. You can win a digital download code for either Superman and Lois Season 2, The Batman, or the Super Mario Brothers movie. You can win a t-shirt of your choice from Shirtosaurus. You can win a three-month gift certificate to Gamefly. You can win a physical copy of Metroid Prime Remastered. And I'm happy to announce... Decal Girl, the people who do those controller skins and console mm-hmm. skins, you get a controller skin of your choice if we draw your name.
Cool.
And nice. Also, because of one of our listeners who wanted to help out with our fundraising, he went and got Jurassic League number one autographed by the artists, and that has been sent to me, and that is now a prize
nice.
That you can win. Thanks to Paul Graves.
Wow.
So, yeah, get your donations in. DeepCavePodcast.com. Click on the Extra Life link. And boy, oh boy, you never know what you could win. And a big thank you to everyone who's helping out with us this year.
Yep. Well, what's going to come next is going to seem anticlimactic to that. Kent?
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Prepare yourself for Justin's long box. Yeah, baby. Extra long.
Gentlemen, what if?
Oh, God.
Good?
Marvel has a line of comics called What If, in which they take standard characters you know and love and tweak them a little bit.
Okay.
So, in 1992, they released What If number 34, the All-Star Humor Edition.
Oh.
So, I'm going to take you through this jaunty little issue of...
What if Rodney Dangerfield's parents had been killed in that alley?
Wrong franchise, but I love it. I love it.
Oh, no.
Yo, I just don't get no respect.
I'm a creature of the... Creature of the night.
Bodies strewn around him. Oh, tough crowd.
Yo, only guy who laughs at my jokes belongs in an asylum.
You're not funny. Now I'm envisioning Don Rickles as the Joker.
You know that would... Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
100% yes.
Either that or Johnny Carson.
Rickles all the way.
Yeah, it's got to be Rickles.
Especially since you put it in my head.
All right.
So what are Marvel's what ifs? Like, so, they're any better than that?
This is the All-Star Humor Edition.
Okay.
So a lot of these were single page splash what ifs, you know, kind of one off jokes, but there were a couple of 3 or 4 page things. So I'm going to book in the segment with those. So the first one, what if Thanos had changed Galactus into a human?
All right.
And so we see an epic battle between Thanos and Galactus, and there's a snapping, and Galactus wakes up on Earth with amnesia, naked, he's in the rain, and surprisingly looks like Elvis Presley. Like, a lot like Elvis.
Okay.
So he stumbles into somebody's house, and she's like, oh my God, you're Elvis. He's like, what? Oh, clearly you have amnesia. Sit down. And then she starts showing him movies and music. And she's a huge Elvis fan. She's got like a velvet Elvis behind her on the couch. To the point where he believes, well, you know, clearly I must be Elvis.
Right.
This was a setup just for that impersonation. That's the entire reason we're doing this.
Yes, back in 1994, I wrote Marvel Scene into the Future
That's why you chose this one. It was for that.
At the time of choosing this, I didn't know this part was in here.
Because
really, what would have happened is Galactus would become the new spokesperson for Planetos cereal.
Planetos.
even to the point where he just knows how to play a guitar and he's singing Elvis songs and he decides, you know what, I'm going to go to a honky-tonk and play some. But won't you get recognized as Elvis? No, Mom, I'll be fine. I'll be fine, ma'am, I'll be fine. Well, people do recognize him. He gets offered, you know, money. Elvis is alive, clearly, so we're going to put him on TV. Well, just before that happens, Adam Warlock shows up and says... You're really Thanos. You're really Galactus. Here's your memories back.
Man, joy kill.
And Thanos, I keep saying. Yeah. Galactus stops for a second and says, no, I want to stay Elvis. And
more power.
I mean, to be fair.
And so the last splash of that story is we see Galactus Elvis, standing in front of a throng of people with the sign, the king is back, arms out, and the shadow behind him is of Galactus.
Galelvis.
Yeah. Galelvis, yeah. So, there's that. There's one where, what if Wolverine hibernated? So, you know, the Sentinels are attacking the X-Men base, and Wolverine is just hanging out in his little doghouse, and they're arguing over who's going to wake him up.
I like that one.
Yeah. Oh, this was one of my personal favorites. What if, and it's a two-parter, what if you were Spider-Man? And there's a picture of Spider-Man and Mary Jane.
I think I know this one.
With a sign that says, paste your face here over Spider-Man's. And the end result is, you would be dead. You're no superhero. And then the next page is a tombstone with the Sinister Six around and says, here lies, fill your name in here. The other part is, what if you were the Red Skull? And again,
you would be a Nazi.
You wouldn't be dead, but you wish you were. And you're surrounded by Ghost Rider and the Punisher and the Thing and the Hulk and Captain America and Wolverine and Thor. And it says, put your bludgeoned photo over the Red Skull's face as he's laying on the floor with stars circling him.
This is sounding more and more like Mad Magazine.
It is.
It kind of is, yes.
By the way, Mad Magazine just did their toast to the 80s this month.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, Mad Magazine's still around. For anyone who was curious.
Hey, magazines are still around.
Hey. What if Sue Storm became the Visible Woman?
No, they did a robot chicken on this.
So,
where's my visible plane? Oh, there it is.
Yeah. No, so what if she became the Visible Woman? So, Namor has soundly defeated the Fantastic Four, and he's getting ready to carry Sue off into the ocean, and he asks, so what can you do, my dear? And her skin disappears, and you see the muscles and the tendons and whatever, and he freaks out and is running across the water away from her.
She should do that more often. That'd really kind of like cut down on how many people they have to fight.
They did that joke in a Venture Brothers episode.
Of course they did. It's a good joke.
I love that show. what if the Punisher was a stern yet fatherly type of figure?
Oh, no.
So we see him sending the Blob up to bed without dinner. We see him grounding Electro.
Okay, yeah.
Get it?
I got it. I understand that. I got that joke.
We see him putting Dr. Doom in the corner to think about what he's done. And we see him having Galactus write on a chalkboard, I will not eat inhabited planets 500 times.
Will he not eat the planets 500 times? Or he has
to write 500 times, I will not eat inhabited planets.
Okay, that's, yeah.
So now we come to the real reason I picked this one up. This is the other long, you know, form story.
All right.
What if Spider-Man had a son? Spider-Baby. Oh. And by son, we are looking at an anthropomorphic spider.
Nope.
Of course we are.
With big eyes.
No.
And a diaper.
Two of them or eight of them?
Two cartoon human-like eyes.
Okay. Just curious. Yeah, I mean, no. Anthropomorphic spider.
Gray, fuzzy little creature with eight arms, but regular, you know, cartoony face.
I hate it.
Mary Jane is getting ready to go out on a photo shoot out of country, and there's nobody to watch the baby.
And there's a good reason there's nobody to watch the baby.
He's got spider and stuff to do. So he calls up the Sandman.
Sure.
Because the Sandman did great with him last time. Sandman doesn't want to do it because he knows you don't know.
I mean, Sandman likes kids, so that's who I'd think of.
Yeah, no, he is not happy with the last time, so that's no. So, it is a bring-your-kid-to-work day for Spider-Man. He webs the little tyke up in a park, which, much to Spider-Baby's chagrin, like a little hammock, you know, and goes about Spider-Manning. Spider-Baby breaks loose, and then peekaboos Daddy while he's in fisticuffs with... I forgot the best part. With Hydro Man, Speed Demon, and Backlash. So they start whooping Spider-Man. Spider-Baby lands on Hydro Man, absorbing him into the diaper. Speed Demon charges after Spider-Baby, slipping on the trail left behind by Hydro Man, crashing into a wall.
That's a brand new sentence.
Yes, it is. And, yeah, Spider-Man is easily able to incapacitate everybody and hands the wet diaper to a police officer. And playfully kisses Spider-Baby on the cheek.
God.
And Spider-Baby ends the series by saying, thwip, thwip. So.
It's still better than what Zeb Wells is writing right now.
So.
I'll take Spider-Baby.
So
for 300,
Alex. So there is, and there's a few other things that I didn't talk about because either A, they didn't translate to a verbal medium, like you had to see the picture, or they didn't age well. Let's just say there's one involving Punisher as a hall monitor.
Ooh. You couldn't have ate. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that one didn't age well. But there's everything you never wanted to know about What If, All-Star Humor Edition from the 90s, because as we all know, everybody say it now, the 90s were weird. I want to thank our sponsor, Shirtosaurus and Gamefly.
Be sure to check out our other shows. You Want Me to Watch What? The Week 3 podcast, the Sporadic TLDR, and on YouTube, Geek Cave Plays and Retromantics. Look us up on social media, including the Discord.
Yes.
Links to all can be found on our website, geekcavepodcast.com. And if you join the Discord, you get advanced copies of all of our podcasts, and you get to talk to us.
Who wouldn't want that?
Depends on who you ask.
Yeah.
Be sure to tell your friends about us. We're on all your favorite podcast services except Stitcher, which apparently is going away.
Huh.
At least that's what I've heard. Hmm.
Stitcher is going away.
Well, yes. We're on all the others.
We're on all the others.
And we're on Stitcher until it's gone, so.
Yes. Huh. So, anyway.
You're not getting this episode on Stitcher.
Yeah, you're not getting this episode on Stitcher.
It went away on August 29th.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
At the time of this recording, you're still around, but you won't be hearing this.
Sorry, time travelers.
You will be able to get us then, technically speaking, on like XM or Sirius Radio.
Yeah.
Because that's where Stitcher's taking its stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, with all that being said, and now, here's your out-of-context comic panel. That evening, at 8:30 p.m., we see Robin remote-controlling the Batplane from a roof. All right, there's Batman, and I've landed the Batplane the way he wanted. Now I'm to stay here and expose myself. For Kent, Darren, and Chad, I'm Justin, and this has been the Wonderful World of Comics. And remember, everyone's a geek for something.